This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsit Pai Luis Inchpesek, my friends. Hey, I'm glad to be back in the studio.
I am also glad to be back.
And I've got Chris.
Yeah, how are you?
We got a special segment for you guys out there. Ani, how are you?
Yep, I'm good. How are you guys? It's Bari Luis for you. It's Bari Gisher for me.
I know, buddy. And Ani is in Armenia. Ani, yeah. What is going on?
A lot is going on. It's just the mood here is just so intense. I know it's intense. Like, people are kind of sitting at the edge of their chairs, just waiting on the next thing that's happening in Armenia. But it's a whole nother experience, just kind of feeling it live, you know?
Ani, this had that flared up like a couple days right before I left, possibly, don't you think?
I think it slowly started building up because I don't know if anyone was just anticipating for all this to happen, but it just gained momentum, you know, like a domino effect, really, to be honest. Or what is it called? Like an avalanche.
Like an avalanche, yeah.
Yeah,
this
avalanche.
This one was an avalanche for sure. Mm-hmm. What is the latest? What's going on in Armenia? For those of you out there that have been, that haven't followed or not on Facebook, what's going on right now in Armenia is there's unrest. And the people are right now, they're not up in arms, but they're really showing
it's very heated
distaste,
right?
Yeah. Of what's happened with the government, with especially our president Sarkisian, and I don't know. To me though, Ani, and my people out there, please help me because I am part of the diaspora, with my thinking and with a lot of thinking in the West, we are a small country.
Yeah,
and how can we fend
hold
off?
Hold it together.
Yeah, how can we fend off a big bad wolf that's on our doorsteps? I mean, this country of Armenia has to stay together, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't. It's a catch-22. I agree. So does everybody else out there. We agree with what you guys are saying in Armenia, but there's gonna be a big repercussion from all this too.
Yeah, because, you know, trusts are broken. And we don't really know what's going to happen, to be honest. Like, what's the plan? I don't even know. Like, we can't anticipate on even knowing right now. But yeah, it's nothing. The demands are nothing new. It's something that people have been complaining about for a long time here. So it's no surprise that all this is uprising, but it's interesting being a diaspora like you and coming here actually with not that much knowledge about what was going on here. And then I'm kind of like an outsider looking in on the inside. So it's really interesting kind of seeing all this develop without prior like feeling towards it, because I didn't know much about it before. Mm-hmm. But then when you're here, you kind of know everything.
My point, I understand what you're saying, but how does one, embrace something like possibly
that
an uprising
violent,
of the people? Yeah. And I just don't know how we in the West, Armenians, can say, yes, this must be done.
And I just don't know.
I just don't know if that's the answer that we're looking for.
Well, everybody wants to hear like the sugar-coated Armenia, you know? And at this time, everything is kind of on blast right now. And a lot of diasporans are looking to their trusted organizations as a source. And sometimes the organizations are kind of slow to respond because they want to be really careful about what they're saying. Because to be honest, everything, it's Armenia, it's a small country. Like, we're not that many people. We're all connected in some way or another. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we're all brothers and sisters, regardless of like our opinions. So how do we find a peaceful solution to come together, to talk about things and to move forward? Because to be honest, everybody wants the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing. They want to be able to provide for their families. They want to be happy. They want to be peaceful. Nobody wants to become violent, but it's happening right now. And it's too bad that it has to be at such a violent place, because that's not what we want to do. We want to go towards peace. And, you know, there are really good things about Armenia that's developing. And then something like this happens and you start to question everything, you know?
Well, I mean, I thought when I was there, and this is my third time being there, I said, my God, this place is so beautiful. And and then my wife gave me a wake-up call on this, and she said, this is all in Yerevan. This is all in the main city. People come to the main city. Mm-hmm. She said, outside the city, the people are hurting, and you're not seeing that aspect of it, and you're an outsider to judge these people. And with me, it was like, everything is gravy. It looks so nice. Yeah. I'm ready to buy a place here. I was just blown away, Chris, how beautiful Armenia is. And all those videos I sent you, and folks out there, we will put these videos up as soon as we settle in. I mean, Chris is coming back from, Chris, you had a kid.
I did have a baby.
Yay!
On July 16th.
July 16th.
Yep. Wow.
And didn't I say 7 pounds?
Yep, you did say 7 pounds. I think you said exactly.
Oh, you guessed it, and you got it correct.
He did get it correct.
7 pounds, 6 ounces, right?
7 pounds, 7 ounces.
Yep. 7 ounces. 7 pounds. And her name?
Sloane Elizabeth.
Sloane Elizabeth.
Yep. That's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Dude.
Thank you.
Because there's not too many Sloanes out there.
There aren't a lot of Sloanes. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, there was a Sloane.
On the Flintstones, the supervisor was Sloane.
Yeah,
Entourage. That's right.
Entourage, if you ever watch Entourage on HBO. The dark-haired girl who dated E.
Right.
Sloane.
Right.
She's Sloane.
Yeah. And actually, I've always liked Sloane because of Sloane Square in London. I went to London like when I was young, and I always liked the name Sloane Square. So
There you go. So now we've got another edition in Armenia Proud. ArmeniaProud.com's got another little follower.
Absolutely. She already subscribed.
Beautiful. Beautiful. But yeah, we'll get those videos up when we get settled in here. And but my point is, I didn't see anything that was
like
resentful or anything like that with the Armenian people. You could walk on the streets at 2:30 in the morning and you still feel comfortable. Now I question everything, because when you have the police station that was taken over by the people and I don't know what you call them. I really
do. Different media sources are using different names.
I know, but I will not call them terrorists.
First it was gunmen, now it's Daredevil, which I think they go by the Daredevils. And then, you know, they are decorated war heroes. I mean, they were huge. Yeah, most of them were huge reason why we still have Karabakh, you know. Yeah, so they're very highly respected individuals. So when they make a statement like that, people listen.
And because, that's what's hurting. Yeah. That's what's hurting us, because I don't know what to make of that when I've got people that in the 90s. That I used to sit my friends down with in the living room and go, "Hey, look at my Armenian army. Look at what they're doing." I was so proud of these guys, and now this is happening. I'm like, I don't want this to be a bad. I just want this to get over with. Really, I felt so bad when they two policemen got killed in there. They took out two policemen. I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, everything's kind of gone out of control. And I don't know how I wanted to word it. But, okay, so Armenia in general, from minor things to big situations, it's a very dramatic place, as you know. Like, this situation, like it's like a movie. It's like we're living a movie, you know? Some things you can't just write. Like, you feel like, oh, if they wrote this in the movie, no one would believe it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that a lot of people have taken a lot of things too far in terms of, like, a lot of media has taken a lot of kind of personifications of this whole thing a little too far. But it's important to have trusted individuals to kind of count on for what's going on. Personally, I follow Richard Kiragosyan. He's a really great man who's in Armenia. He's from America's diaspora, and he runs an independent think tank, kind of research center. And you can follow him on Facebook. And what he has to say is just very good because it's based on facts. And he does a really, really good job kind of dissecting the whole situation and making it aware to the public. So it actually Serge Tankian, when he just made a post on Facebook, he quoted Richard Kiragosyan, which is really amazing too. And his interviews are on Al Jazeera as well. So I'm thankful that we have somebody like that reporting here to the rest of the world, which is a great thing, because the kind of independent media is doing a good job covering here, but the mainstream media in Armenia is not covering it.
Well, yeah. And the Facebook has really exploded too. I mean, every other post on my mm-hmm. Facebook is demonstrations about stuff going down in Armenia. And here's the thing too that I want to tell you guys. When I was there, I was at a restaurant, a cafe by the Opera House in mm-hmm. Yerevan, and I'm seeing them argue with someone, the police, and then they're about to take this person. All of a sudden, you see, Chris, like 25 cell phones right mm-hmm. there.
All holding up, yeah.
They cannot wait to report this, to put it on Facebook. It's almost like... It's like the what's that?
Everyone is covering this in any way they can, and it's not so different than the American media, to be honest. It's happening there too.
Isn't it more? But what I seen though, what I'm saying though, Ani, is what I seen wasn't that dramatic. Sitting back at the cafe.
Oh, and they kind of made it more dramatic.
Exactly from what they shown on Facebook of that mm-hmm. particular scene. It makes it sound like it made it look like there's a whole revolt in that whole Yerevan, and it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. I think the people were still enjoying their cafes, enjoying walking and so forth. And not to downplay that whole situation though. I'm really caught catch 22 on this because I don't know what to make of this.
You know why? Because nobody, at the end of the day, nobody wants to be violent, you know? Like, nobody wants that. Nobody wants to get hurt or injured from either side of the situation. So, but the reality is it is getting dangerous, you know? And, like, I have a friend, for instance, they were at one of the protests a few days ago, and everything was fine. Everyone was just marching. Nobody was tripping. Like, the cops were just chilling there too. They weren't even getting crazy. And then all of a sudden something broke out. And then that's when they were throwing the grenades, and then the crowd dispersed, and it was becoming like a crazy situation. And it really escalated. And when my friend told me that, I was freaking out. I was like, I can't believe you're in the middle of that. Like, I'm thank God you're okay. And, you know, she waited a few days to tell me, and actually, like, she didn't even want to tell her family because they would be pissed that, you know, she was in that situation. But nobody wanted to. This is the thing. Initially, nobody wants to be in that situation. They just want a voice to be heard. And then on the police end, they're just doing their job. they're taking orders. You know what I mean? So where do we find the middle ground of peaceful demonstration or peaceful communication? I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon because these trusts have kind of already been broken, you know, and they need to be rebuilt in a very kind of democratic way.
And a sensitive way, too. I just think that everything has to be give and take right now. But what I was going to say is, I think now it's getting to be a point to where we're really snooping down. We're going down a lane that we shouldn't be right now. We're going down a road that I think you're seeing. I put this post up on my site. It's got the Turkish hat.
And I saw that.
Right
and
next
you know what?
To it,
like,
the
yeah,
cop hat.
They took it. Somebody took it way too far by posting that.
We cannot. Like, we cannot compare our police or what happened in 1915 to what's happening now. This is a crime alone. I think that should not even be even used as some sort of comparison.
Well, you know, it's like when there isn't. For instance, everyone's becoming a journalist, becoming a photographer because they want to, when they're there, they want to capture it and raise awareness because we can't rely on so many media sources anymore. I mean, I think, you know, Azat Uchun TV and CivilNet TV are doing a really good job trying to do the best they can to cover this. But sometimes you don't have access or you want to be there and you want to tell people what's going on. Telling the story without actually, you know, getting in the middle of the real information.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, but it's more or less. Are we seeing what I'm saying though? Is are we seeing something like maybe 2 weeks ago? I seen a post. It had people in Beirut, Chris. They were marching.
Okay,
and that march was for April 24th, and they put down that's a protest march against Sarkisian, our president. They're using stuff like the propaganda on that is horrible. That was for the April 24th
parade. That's really misleading,
parade.
Yeah, there needs to be, like, a definite fine line about what issue you want to raise awareness and how you're going to go about it, but it's not good to mix. Because to outsiders who are not Armenian, who don't know the situation, they're the ones that we have to, like, reach out to as well. And so you can't mix things. You have to be clear in communication. PR world, as I am in my, you know, this other life of my PR-ness, there's a clear message. You have to deliver it in the easiest way possible. And it has to be based on facts.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I don't think the outside world really cares except for Turkey and Azerbaijan and Russia. These are the three that are really involved in this thing that's going on internally in Armenia.
If they care or they know, like, for instance, like Turkey and Azerbaijan, like they barely have access to like any outside media other than their own, which is kind of alarming, but I'm sure they would love to hear like something like this is going on in Armenia.
Oh yeah, of course. And
Russia,
the same.
I don't know. I can't speak for Russia. I don't know what's going on with them at this moment.
in all fairness, though, we would watch this too if it was happening in Azerbaijan. We would be like, hey, this is great. Aliyev is now he's getting forced by the people to act democratic and all this stuff. And so we would watch that. We would see what's going on because it has an effect on Armenia as well. But the outside people, I don't think care as much as the outside diaspora from all the way from Brazil to LA to Canada to Europe. Mm-hmm. I mean, even middle of the United States, us, we're talking about it in St. Louis. So something.
That's true.
Something has to happen here to get the vote of confidence back from the people as well. Now, this is like you're dividing the people against each other, too, and we can't have
this. And that's a big problem because, you know, it's not only a big problem within a country, but with neighbors. Like, the people need to be cool with each other, neighbors, you know, because we're all kind of the same in a way. Like, yeah, like I said it, like the regular Azeri people who are just like, they have families just like we do. They're not so different than us. It's just propaganda sets us apart. You know what I mean? And that's really sad. Like, I have a really good friend who got sponsored for this workshop outside of in Moldova. And they met with different students and just people from different countries. And he met with a bunch of Azeris in Moldova. And you know what? They found so many commonalities with each other. He's like, this woman that I met, she was just like my mom. Like, we're so similar. You know what I mean? And it's too bad that all this stuff is just put in our way. Because if we actually came together, it would be way more powerful. You know,
that's great that you're saying that, because yeah. I ran into an Azeri site. I'm going to find this Azeri site as we're talking. And this Azeri site, for one time, had something funny. And it was about one of my American friends posted this, and it said Azerbaijan something. So I said, you know what? Let me go to this site. I went to the site, and it was nothing but funny stuff and nothing at all political. And then I messaged him. I messaged the organization, this site, and I said, you know what? This is the first Azeri site that I've run into that's not political, and that's you guys are really something that I can tune into and just watch and have fun with a smile on my face and not worry about what's being said. And then he turned around, messaged me back, and said, I don't get into politics. I wish to God one day that our two countries, Armenia and Azerbaijan, will work together and be friends again. But I will not contribute to anything that's going to be negative towards another person. And I was
wonderful.
Wow, this guy's got so much class. Yeah. And if two countries, if the people like that act like that with one another, I think we got something going.
Totally. And it comes down to this point where, like, nobody wants to fight, like, to die, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not fair that everyone's getting pinned up against each other. Like, yeah, people do want to die for a cause, you know, but we think about these causes and the root of it, and it makes you really angry, like, because, you know, these people are fighting to keep their country, like, together, and then they just feel like they're being abused and used, and that's not fair. You know, on a personal level, it's not fair.
So what's the latest now going on in Armenia? What is, as in today or yesterday?
Well, today, right now, there was a protest. Actually, it was building up across the street from my house.
Right.
And there was like a few hundred police officers just like in front of this press building, kind of blocking it. And so we're just taking a walk and we see this happening. And I'm like, okay, something's about to happen here. Turns out it's a location that it has had protests in the past before for other things. And so the protesters came, we heard them. And then they marched on like to another location. So it's a march, it's constant movement around. You have moments where you're freaked out. You have moments where you're pride, but then you don't know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? And that's the part, like, for instance, during the conflict that happened in April, with Artsakh, I mean, we were freaking out, obviously, you know? But this is a little different because it's in Yerevan, you know, and it's with like your own people, against kind of your own people, which is like such mixed feelings. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
It's a lot of confusion going on. And I don't know. I know this is kind of like a wild concept for me to bring in. But remember how I talked about how the energy of the Tuf stone takes the collective energy and spits it back times like a 10. So if you're feeling good, you're going to feel better around Tuf. If you're like feeling bad, Tuf is going to push that negativity. So a lot of people have been asking me like, oh, why don't you get out there in the protests? And my answer is, well, I promised my mom like I wouldn't put myself in danger, you know, so I respect my mom and I'm going to, you know, continue that. And I'm raising awareness in ways that I can, in ways that I feel like it's
constructive.
My way of doing it. Exactly. Because I know how the energy works, and I know that it can escalate. And I kind of like, I need to be around to tell people what's going on. I need to be like healthy and safe. You know what I mean?
Ani, I know the people want our president Sarkisian down. Mm-hmm. Well, who do they
Nothing
want?
New.
What's that?
Nothing new.
Yeah. Okay. But who do they want to replace him that's going to liberate the people as they feel, as they think?
I honestly can't answer that. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. I know the remember I shared an article with you, the transparency.am. The demands are clearly listed there. And it's more, to be honest, it's more of a democratic reform. And I think it's reasonable, but again, I can't really answer that right now because I'm not an expert on the situation.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think that whoever they have in mind, I think they're gonna go through the same hell as what we have right now. I just don't see one serving bread. Milk and honey, like you see on the old 1920s shows. You know, I don't know. I'm just a little confused by that. I don't know how one person can come in.
I mean, I
and
wouldn't be surprised if something like this happened in the States. To be honest, with either president that's like potentially going to be elected, there's a lot of conflict going on there, and
of course,
it just shows like Armenia, in a way, it's interesting because we kind of encapsulate all problems from like different countries, but you could see it at such a microscopic level. You know what I mean? And that's right. A very unique thing about Armenia, like even on the good side, on the development side, like, and then you could see it on the other side, because there's a lot of issues that are going on here that are actually very similar to what's going on in the States, because people aren't happy with, you know, what's going on there either.
Right.
And like, it's like a basically, if you have a lot of Armenian friends on your Facebook, it's like a Facebook war between the situation going on now and
I'm seeing that.
Trump and Hillary just tearing each other apart, which is also entertaining. Like, people are finding ways to spin things for entertainment as well, because I guess maybe human nature, we just have to have it that way.
Well,
I don't know.
On that note too, Ani, you're seeing a lot of people on both sides. They're entrenched with their side and they're not budging. Mm-hmm. They're not budging. I mean, Facebook is not a friendly place right now.
Facebook is out of control. Yeah.
It's not a friendly place. I've got people right now that are just telling me, hey, I'm done. I'm done with Facebook. I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of arguing about it.
There's a lot of really good things about Facebook too. I mean, I like the power of the unfollow button, where you can like still like be friends with somebody and then just not have to see their stuff. But I think it's important to, it's a good way of seeing what the opinions are. You could see the person behind the opinion because you know that person. So you know that, okay, maybe this person isn't a bad person. They just happen to have this opinion, you know?
Right, right.
But like I'm actually more into Instagram than Facebook personally, because I choose the happy, you know, spiritual stuff that I get to choose to see. And I see happy images, you know what I mean? Little daily reminders, different quotes and such, whatever makes me happy. And it's more interest-based than friend-based, because we all have those friends that like, they're our friends because of time and they're on there. Like,
right.
So you have to see their stuff.
Right.
Which, you know. And they have to see our stuff, too. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people probably think I'm a little crazy, but, you know.
By the way,
I try to keep it positive.
Speaking of positive, that place that you guys took me to, what was it called? El Mayas?
El Mayas. Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I think I just heard Sarkis in the background, but
yeah,
that
cackling,
place was
yeah.
like my home. My home. I love that place, yeah. And those guys were listening to my show, And they heard me bringing them up, and they loved it. Harut, yeah, you're one of the best waiters I ever had, buddy. God bless. Awesome. He's a young kid, and and I tell you what, he made everything right, and I felt right at home there. And if you're in Armenia and you're in Yerevan, you got to check out their restaurant. It's called El Mayas, right?
El Mayas, by Kaskad on Isahakyan. So for all the listeners out there, me and Sarkis took Jono there once. And how many times did you go back after that?
I was there like 5 days in a row. They had a special table for me after a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really good, authentic Lebanese food. And you said you grew up kind of with that food. And it was probably more on the nostalgic side for you. Yeah.
Oh, man. And every day I was like ordering something else that was on the menu. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was cool. It was great people. And that's not just that restaurant. Everywhere I went, people were great. People were fun. Yeah. People were accepting. And I hope that never changes with Armenia, not just in Yerevan, but in Armenia. I went to Garni, and I went to the mountains. Everyone that I talked to, Chris, and I'd love for you to go next time with me something with our families. But you just can't believe how much love there is towards other people. And that's what's so shocking. That's what's so shocking about all this crap that's going on. I can't visualize another Armenian hurting another Armenian. Yeah. It's like it's like the worst code ever in Armenian books.
Because you think about it, like, technically, especially the locals here, like, it's a small world. Like, everyone has to be related to certain degree, like, however many generations you can count. So there, to be honest, maybe I'm just an optimist, but there has to be a peaceful
solution
way. Like that's the only way. And I don't know, maybe it's just a matter of time. Maybe, you know, they say before things get better, they get worse. I don't know. But it will become peaceful at some point. It just has to.
It has to. Well, before we get to your segment. Before we get to your segment about some sort of finding inner peace through this, let's give a little shout out to Amazon. Amazon, you can find Amazon on armeniaproud.com. It'll be on your right-hand side, folks. It'll be a little square area right there. You click on there. It says Amazon, and shop away. If you do shop at Amazon, please go to our site first at armeniaproud.com. Yeah. And on your phone, on your cell phone, you may have to scroll all the way down, but when you scroll all the way down, you'll see Amazon. Click on there and shop whatever you want. I mean, like Bernie said, $27. I mean, whatever it is,
an average whatever you need.
Yeah, whatever you need. It could be a pencil eraser, whatever. But
bought so much stuff in the last
buy it through Amazon. You have, haven't you?
Oh, my God. All from ArmeniaProud.com.
There you go. I think a friend of mine called me up and said they bought a mattress.
Nice.
They bought a mattress, and it came all rolled up.
Did it?
Yeah, it looked like – he said it – I didn't think that this was going to look like that. Yeah. It came in like a burrito.
That's funny.
And then when he busted the tape, it just sprung out.
Wow.
But in any case, anything you could get on Amazon. But before you go to Amazon, go to armeniaproud.com. Can you save that, Chris? I mean, is that
you save it in your bookmarks, and you don't even have to go to the website then. After it's in your bookmarks,
just
go to our website one time. Hit the Amazon banner on the right-hand side or the bottom of the page. After you arrive at Amazon then, add it in your bookmarks, and you're good.
There you go, my friends.
Bookmark every time.
There you go. What about that? What about that, Ani? That was pretty good,
wasn't it? Well, speaking of audiobooks. which, you know what? Like, I know I've said it many times before, but I'm a bookworm. I love to read a lot, but lately I've just been really busy, and audiobooks are seriously like my
best
friend.
Aren't they the best?
It's so relaxing too.
It's so relaxing.
And I even like my friend like in LA, she's like, audiobooks are the only way that I get to work and back because the traffic is so bad in LA that like audiobooks make her feel more zen, you know what I mean? And less angry at other drivers.
But I want to know this though. Is this making us lazier as a culture?
It might be.
Not reading anymore.
It might be.
It's so easy, so convenient to open up an audiobook.
But maybe we also, I mean, they say you're either audio or visual learner or a combination of both. And now that it's accessible, I think we're triggering that part of our brains because we have to. Because I don't want to miss out on information. And this is kind of like the last resort. I actually like audio and visual combined. But in this case, like, I wanted to talk about this book that I really, really love. Basically,
Giving a little shout out to a book, huh?
Yeah, it's an old book. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Oh, great book.
By Dale Carnegie.
Really?
Oh, it's one of the all-time greats.
You love that
book,
Chris?
It's a great book.
Really?
Yeah, it's very old school. It's a staple. And I've been recommended this book many times, but I had just kind of overlooked it. And then I was at this awesome, like, used bookstore in London, and I saw it. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And so I bought the book, I started reading it, and then I didn't have time, so I did the audiobook, and then now I'm going to donate this book here to somebody that will... Well, actually, the free little libraries, I think you saw my post about that, Jono, you liked it. It's this really cool new concept introduced to Yerevan, like outside little libraries. It's like a box full of books where people can read and put a book back or donate a new book.
Oh, how great was that? Yeah, I got to tell Chris about that. People... just putting books in like a glass box out
cute
of
little
corners.
Box. Yeah.
Oh, I saw this. Yes.
How cool is that?
That is very cool. Mm-hmm.
And people just read the book and then put another book or something like that. That is excellent. That just shows how much love people have towards one another. That's beautiful.
It's awesome.
And it's an interesting range of books in different languages, which is really great for people that are, you know, trying to brush up their skills in whatever language they're trying to learn. I donated a lot of weird books, and I made sure to donate extra weird ones just because I like to just, you know, stir the pot a little bit. But what kind of drew me to this book is because I think when you talk about energy, communication energy is a big, big deal, especially like when you're trying to achieve something, right? So How to Win Friends and Influence People, it's not about kissing ass, but it's about becoming somebody that's memorable, that's reliable, dependable. And and there's a number of ways that this can be achieved. So he talks about Dale Carnegie. He basically drew a lot of different stories, success stories of really powerful leaders and entrepreneurs, and tried to collect, like, what's their secret, basically? How do they become successful? And there's a lot of techniques. One is remembering people's names, making sure you nail their names. It means a lot, actually.
I'm horrible
Eye
with
contact.
That.
Yeah, like, when you talk to somebody, it's really important to look at them in the eye. Even when you're genotzing, like they say you're supposed to look at everyone you're genotzing, because you're building that connection, that bond.
Right.
And one way to grasp people's attention and kind of make them loyal to you is you have to be genuinely interested in them. Like, so small talk won't get you far. It might get you kind of liked, but it will not get you far. Because you want to be someone that's pleasant to work with and rememberable, because you never know what colleague is going to be what later. You know, they say tables turn.
Right.
So, you know, so many stories of like, you work for someone and then later they work for you, and it happens a lot. So you want to build these relationship bonds. Yeah, exactly. Especially if you're trying to achieve something very important and positive. And I think body language has a lot to do with it. There's a huge, like 85% of communication is nonverbal. So what your body language is presenting, it shows what energy state you're in. If you're in a state of nervous energy or confused energy, no one's going to believe you or hold you credible to anything.
Right, totally.
So you want to have that posture. You want to have that confidence. And that's how you start building trust. And like angry energy is not going to build trust. And I think we can kind of prove that in all these situations.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I guess just having bad energy, such as burning bridges, that's against this philosophy as well. Never vent off and tell them how you feel, or how is that all? How's that all based on?
I mean, look, if you're going to basically come to an agreement on something or get someone to do something for you or whatever it is you want to accomplish, if you appeal to their interests, you can manipulate the situation to get what you want,
right,
to be honest. And yeah, you don't always have to like somebody, or, you know, if they're a really terrible person, look, burning bridges isn't the answer, but you can agree to disagree to move on, but you still want to be a reliable source in your field of work or of your field of trust. You know, you may not like the other person, but if you want to send them a referral because you know they're good at their job, that's a whole different story. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So I kind of want to talk about rhetoric because it's really important right now, especially like what we were talking about earlier. I think one of the reasons why people are really untrusting of the current Armenian president right now is because he doesn't appeal to the interests and he doesn't even address them, you know? And you look at someone like Obama, who is probably the best speaker in the world, regardless of how people feel about him politically, we can all agree that he does a very, very good job addressing people's interests, whether or not he follows through on it, but at least he addresses it and people love it. And that's what makes him very likable and successful. Mm-hmm. Because there's probably a million things people could have protested on his presidency about, but they didn't, because he made sure that people know that he is thinking of their interests.
Hmm. Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. Even people that hate him,
that's amazing. When
he does talk, he does magnetize with that microphone, and people do listen.
Yeah, he's an excellent orator, and you know, and not just actually his speaking and his speaking style, but the way like I could give the same speech, and you could give the same speech, and 100 other people could give the same speech, but the way that he's able to engage with his audience across all levels, so all the way from the right to the left, the people love him, the people hate him. It's amazing how unanimously everyone will say, the guy's an amazing speaker, and it's like he's speaking to me.
Well, exactly. He makes a good point. So you're saying then, Ani, that Sarkisian is very dry, and maybe he doesn't talk to the people? If this is the problem, maybe his communication skills need to be vamped up.
Studying rhetoric, if you want to study his speeches or his speaking style, it's very like monotone. And there is no genuine interest, and you can tell, you know what I mean? Like, it's very obvious just in the speaking style alone. You know what I mean?
Yep. Does he come off
like, for instance, like Donald Trump, he's actually very clever in his speech. Because although he's not likable and he doesn't really necessarily genuinely bring up people's interest, but what he's using instead is repetition. And they say repetition is a mother of influence. Yep. So if you notice what he's talking, he repeats himself a lot in the same sentence. He uses the same words over and over in one sentence, and he's actually strategically doing that. Like, it's a style.
He's
being trained to do it that way, and it's actually working out because you know his clear message.
Yeah, so he'll actually, like, and I've actually seen, like, studies on this, but he'll, like, one statement, okay, over, like, a 15-minute, like, speech, like, he'll take one statement and alter it, like, 15 ways and say the same statement, like, I really support, you know, law and order. I'm a big supporter of law and order. Law and order is what we need, and he'll reiterate it in like a handful of ways, and it sticks that way.
It does. It's very smart because he's able to kind of, you'll remember exactly what he said from the entire speech. You'll remember every part of it, whether as like Obama, like, as you know, he's appealing to interests, but you know, he speaks about various things, and when you want to kind of repeat it back to him, like it's harder. But with Trump, it's very easy to repeat his speech back to him. Even if he keeps changing what he's saying, like it doesn't matter. Like, for instance, he'll quote somebody like, she told me that. She told me that. You know, that's when she told me. She told me on that day, that's when she told me. So you'll know that in your mind, okay, if she told him that, then that happened, because repetition is also a big influencer. But is it going to work in the long run? I don't know, because his energy is very hodgepodgey and it's not consistent, or it is too consistent in a weird way. So it's really, really hard to tell. Like Obama's energy is very calm and cool and collective, right? You kind of, yeah, like how many wars did it start under his presidency? But when you look at him, you feel kind of, you feel safe looking at him for some odd reason, right?
Well, you know what, though? What you just said, I thought of, Chris, you might know this too. When I took a drive a couple times from St. Louis to Florida, you go through Georgia or Tennessee, and you see this Ruth. It says Ruth Creek, Ruth Ridge, Ruth this, Ruth. Yep. And it's a mountaintop that's called Ruth something. Huh. And it's every 10 miles, they got a billboard up complimenting this Ruth Ridge, Ruth Ridge. And guess what? We went to go check out Ruth Ridge.
Yeah, it's stuck.
Because, after so many times you see that, you say, what the hell? Let me check it out. Yep. And maybe in a sense, that's what's happening with the Trump people too. After a while, they're soaking this up and saying, you know what? It is about law and order.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, could that be it too? Yeah. I thought of that when you guys were talking.
And you know what? It's interesting because in the power of manifestation is a very tricky practice, because when you complain about something, you're giving it more energy and you're actually attracting it more. So focusing on the positive is good. But like, you see these anti-Trump ads everywhere, right? You're still promoting Trump. His name is out there. So it's they say there's no such thing as bad PR. In a way, there's a lot of truth to that, because if you're putting it out there, even if it's negative, you're still giving the attention that it needs, and you're drawing that attention towards an individual like that. So it's interesting how even bad propaganda is still propaganda, and it could still possibly work in his favor, because that's kind of how energy works. Like, for instance, if you think you're going to be running late somewhere and you just keep putting it out there, oh my God, I'm late. Oh my God, I'm late. And then all of a sudden you get every red light. You know, you get like somebody crossing the street that's taking forever or whatever, but you're actually attracting this scenario because of what the energy that you're putting out. But however, if you turn it around and keep repeating, oh, I'm on time, like miraculously I became on time, like you make yourself believe it. And then all of a sudden you're getting all green lights there, your parking spot is there. Like, it's really, really interesting, a test. People can test this out.
What do you think about what's happening in Armenia with this propaganda, this bad vibe and all this that you're seeing it all around? We're seeing it on Facebook.
That's kind of why I'm kind of I'm observing, because I still don't have all the information, because to be honest, I'm still somewhat new here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure whatever I'm gathering, is legit, but I also don't want to contribute to a lot of the negativity and a lot of the complaining, because I don't want to attract it. So I'm trying to think on the bright side. You know what I mean?
Good
like
for you.
Thank you. I mean, it's not an easy task, but it has to be done.
Yeah.
And you know what? We can look at it one positive way, which is, hey, people are coming together. You know what I mean? Like, it's a beginning, maybe.
I don't look
maybe.
At it like that. I look at it dividing, because now I'm seeing them take a shot at our Gatagigos. They're taking it's open season now. Whatever's on these people's mind, they're firing away.
What's happening is, people are just starting to question every organization, every institution that they know, that they had trusted. Now they're questioning it. So in kind of it's kind of a good thing.
You think
that everyone's questioning?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe you're right. Yeah. Maybe. You're
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. You should question everything. Like, you know.
Even
it's the
if
way
something,
of the world.
Even if something can lead to something negative, though. I mean, I
well,
again,
you know,
again.
Think of
yeah.
You think of, for instance, if you want to call it, as an example, if you want to pick a side. Now, like, let's say if you want to pick to be a Democrat, now that you picked to be a Democrat, you have to defend everything that Democrats do, right?
Right.
And maybe you don't agree with everything Democrats do, but you're taking their side. So now I'm thinking, oh, maybe I don't want to call myself a Democrat. Maybe I have my own opinions. Maybe I don't want, you know? And so I think that it's a consciousness that's kind of being awakened. People are going to be at a higher level of consciousness out of this, I believe, because now that they understand if they take sides, there's consequences of taking a side. And maybe we don't have to take sides. Maybe we can formulate things on our own individual level and then appeal to each other's genuine interests and find a common ground from there. Because at the end of the day, we're all human beings. We actually have almost the same amount of interest in terms of essentials of survival. You know what I mean?
That was beautiful, Ani. Honestly,
thank
God,
you.
That was good stuff.
Yeah.
Really?
Inspiring. Yeah.
Maybe you ought to run for president.
I'm on board. I'd vote for Ani.
I would vote for Ani.
Thanks.
I would vote for Ani. I mean, this is the type of people we need in Armenia that are not looking for power. They want people just to get along.
And help people.
Can't we all just get along?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, why pick one organization, one side, one institution? Like, we have been so caught up on competitiveness and being on a team, and that means you have to support your team. And, like, someone could do something really terrible on your team, but you still have to have their back. I'm going to have my back. You know what I mean? And hopefully, like, it's in a good way and not in a, you know what I'm trying to say, yeah?
No, I totally get it. I totally get it. I think that people should stop. What I got from you is people should stop buying into the old traditional, the how it's supposed to be because culture has accepted it like that, and we will flow with that. And
I was having actually I was having a conversation about this earlier with some friends, like, because they were kind of putting me up on game on, like, you know, old school mentality and how certain groups formed and this and that, because I'm still learning, you know, I'm still learning. And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, but, you know, this was formed in this year. And now it's 2016. So many things are so different. Everybody's always ever changing. Why do we need to stick to any group? You're right. It's dividing us, and that's not fair. And being this is maybe now this is my opinion. Being so nationalistic and isolated, even in a not in Armenian country, if you're living, like, you know, outside, it's actually dangerous because you're putting yourself as a target. What we need to do is effectively work on the relationships we have outside of Armenia as well with our countries, like Armenians living in Brazil. Like, let them have a great partnership with Brazil, and then that can translate to a great partnership with Armenia. And if we did that all over the world, that means people will be like, oh, Armenia is cool, Armenians are cool, they're peaceful people because we know them. But if we cut them off and act like we're better than everyone else, which a lot of people do, it's actually going to be quite detrimental to our society.
You're right. And by the way, we do have a great following in Brazil. They love us in Brazil. God bless you, Brazil.
Yeah, a huge following in Brazil.
Mm-hmm. And, hey, I met your buddy, Victoria. What a great gal. And we went to her winery, her
you ended up going.
Oh God, yeah. Me and the wife went, and I tell you what a first class operation. And mm-hmm. we had a great time there. Victoria, thank you. Thank you so much. That's Armas Winery, folks, and that was first class. Everything about it.
It's like Napa in Armenia,
that winery.
It's
absolutely gorgeous. And my wife was like, wow, I'm so proud of her. I'm so impressed by Victoria. I mean, this is a girl that just followed her dad, and then now she's running the operation, and my wife was so proud of her. And I just can't tell you, folks, if you want a weekend and you're in Armenia, that's the place to be. There's like she's got great cottages there where you could spend the night and sit under the stars and have some wine. It's unbelievable. You got to give them a call. If you can find them on their website, Armas, I would definitely recommend it. And next time I go to Armenia, I'm definitely going to make one weekend stay out there. I was just so short on time that I couldn't do everything.
But it's great you got to go. And I think their business is a really great example of people investing in Armenia with something they love personally, which will translate, and something positive. And it's giving Armenia like that great image of like it's helping the wine culture, which is helping the country. Like, you know, they're sustaining a village basically. And it's a very beautiful, type of investment. And that's just like one business. Like imagine all the opportunities that people can bring their own spice, their own flavor, like here. And it's really possible as long as they focus on the positive side. And as long as they focus on the future, which like they have and they are, then it works out. You know what I mean? If someone's trying to come here and just make money and go, nothing's ever going to work out that way. And like, actually I feel like, spending time with Victoria at the winery, she's using some of the principles from this book of how to win friends and influence people, because they're extremely close with everyone that works with them. They're genuinely like share stories and they know each other's names. They know everything about each other. And that is a very, very influential, big deal. It's a big deal. It's a great business model to follow. And I hope everyone kind of catches on.
No doubt. That being on that deck and looking at the mountains, looking at her vineyard out there, it was just excellent. Chris, it's unbelievable. Thank you, Victoria.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing it one day. It looks absolutely fantastic.
Outstanding.
It's really easy to find on social media, too.
Yeah, outstanding.
So well, you passed off a bottle of tequila. I remember you brought us a nice
I brought three
American
bottles
present.
Of tequila. Yeah. I how about that syrup I brought you?
Oh, it's so amazing.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
Good. I was so afraid that this thing was going to spill all over my break into my luggage, and it didn't. But I did lose a luggage. I finally got it yesterday.
You got it? Okay,
I finally got it yesterday. Anyway.
It happens all the time. Yeah.
Anyway, Ani, it's been great, and I'm glad you gave us a little bit of what's going on in there in Armenia. And you know what? I swear to God, Chris, you made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's not all crazy anarchy, as she's putting it, too.
Sure,
so.
Yeah.
So God bless, Ani, and thank you very much. And
thank you.
And by the way, thank you for that jazz concert, too. I just couldn't stay there. It was just too many people in that room. It freaked me out. I had to get out.
No worries.
Yeah. It just kept getting smaller.
And, folks, we couldn't have Mariam on. She's still on vacation, but I know Mariam's listening. Mariam, we miss you. We can't wait to have you back on the show. And I love the special segment we did. We may do this more often.
I like it. I think add it to
the
schedule.
I like it, too.
All right, guys. From the Armenia Proud Group here, from Jano, Genatsit Kisher Party. Talk to you guys later.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. Find the show online at armeniaproud.com. And subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at Facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or Twitter at ArmeniaProud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.